You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for that rock, Christ Jesus, and we're thankful today that we are standing on that sure foundation. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today. We're trusting the Holy Spirit will be able to use us to make it a blessing to each and to every one. We know that your eye is upon everyone, And we know that you love everyone, you care for them. And so we're praying that you'll minister to our precious congregation, whatever their burdens, whatever their cares, whatever their concerns may be. For you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless it to the hearts of our listeners. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this service with you from week to week, and we do trust it's proving to be a blessing. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And at the close of our broadcast, we will be giving you our mailing address, and we invite you to write us.
I've heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Sincerity. Reading from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, And then in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Sincere, according to Webster's dictionary, without deceit, pretense, or hypocrisy, truthfulness. Sincerity, defined and illustrated, is this. Sincerity is being in reality what one professes to be, not assuming, feigning, or pretending. Single-heartedness, frankness, straightforwardness. A man is said to be sincere when there is a proper correspondence between his inward sentiments and convictions and his outward words and actions. Sincerity has three elements: simplicity, unmixed with deceit; honesty, in intention, action, profession, opposed to artful or cunning hypocrisy; genuineness, reality, not sham or pretense. Note, sincerity does not constrain us to divulge everything that we know, even if it be true. No, there are some things that we want to keep to ourselves. Sincerity, as it is applied to the character, sincerity, or the lack of it, reveals the character of a person. To the life, the governing motives are pure. No wearing the mask, someone has said. Nothing does one more harm than to be suspected of craft, guile, or deceit. Everyone stands on his guard against such a person as that. Sincerity is necessary for true worship. Yes, sincerity is necessary for true worship. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the great river, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That's Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. And we have in this passage of Scripture, when Joshua was an elderly person, he gathered the children of Israel together, and he gave them this charge: now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Joshua went on to say in verse 15 that if it seem evil in your sight to serve the Lord, then you choose whom you will serve, whether the gods that were on the other side of the river or the gods in whose lands you now dwell. But he said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Christian profession should correspond with the heart and the life that the person lives. Let us look at some examples of sincerity. First of all, we look in the life of Jesus Christ. If there was ever a perfect man, one about going good, being sincere in all that he said and did, it was indeed Jesus. The Scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 in regard to Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What Jesus said, Jesus meant. There were religious leaders who sent certain men out to try to trip Jesus up in his words. They tried to get something on him that they might accuse him. But these men, as they listened to Jesus, were deeply impressed. And they came back to the religious leaders, and they had no ill will to report about Jesus. And they said, no man ever spake like this man. when Peter and John and James was up on the Mount of what we call Transfiguration with Jesus, there Moses and Elijah appeared to him, and Jesus was transformed before them. And after Joshua, or after Moses and Elijah left, Jesus returned to his natural state. And Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of that cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so there was no guile in Jesus. He spoke the truth. He was the very embodiment of truth. And he himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It is said of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word, that's Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in the Old Testament, we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, about King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man who was endeavoring to sincerely serve the Lord, and he got sick. And Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah with the message, "Prepare your house, you're going to die." But after Isaiah left, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he cried unto the Lord. He wanted to live, which is only a natural thing to do. It's an unnatural thing to want to die early. I know people can get old and feeble and feel like they're useless, and then they want to die and go on to be with the Lord. But Hezekiah wasn't that old. He wanted to live. And so he said to the Lord, "Remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart." In other words, we could say of Hezekiah, he had sincerely endeavored to please the Lord. And before Isaiah got out of the court, the Lord told Isaiah, "You go back and you tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer and I have added 15 years unto his life." Yes, Hezekiah had lived a righteous life before the Lord, and he used that to ask the Lord to be merciful to him. And the Lord heard his cry and added 15 years unto his life. Jesus was with some of his disciples, and one of them had invited a man by the name of Nathanael to come and to see Jesus, who had come out of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And he was told, "Come and see." And so he did. And as he approached Jesus, Jesus said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile," or, in other words, "no dishonesty." John chapter 1 and verse 47. Nathanael was amazed and wondered how Jesus Christ knew him and knew what his state was. But Jesus told him he would be able to see greater things than that. So Nathanael accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But he was a man that had no guile, in other words, no dishonesty. He was an honest, sincere person. Now, in the life of true ministers of the gospel, their behavior, their spirit, their use of the Word of God. Let me read from Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, in regard to ministers. "For this cause," Paul was writing to Titus, "for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said that the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This is a true witness. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, and turn from the truth. This is a high standard, but this is the standard for a God-called, God-ordained minister. And all that the world had, a lot of ministers like that today. But we have blind leading the blind. We have those false prophets who are deceiving the people, leading them astray, and standing in their pulpits saying we're all sinners, that we all sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. But beloved, that is not being sincere in serving the true and the living God. Again, our text, Philippians 1:10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And then Proverbs 8:8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. So we are to speak the truth, and we are to speak the truth in love. Paul told the elders of Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing, grievous wolves shall come among you, not sparing the flock, and men, even among your own selves, shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. A man who is endeavoring to draw away disciples after themselves is not a true minister. They are not a God-called minister, and they are not being true to the souls of men. Sincerity is necessary soil for Christian experience, but it is not a substitute for faith. It does not make errors believe truth. No. Sincerity of itself, you know, people can be sincerely wrong. So it does not make erroneous beliefs true just because you're sincere. Don't you think those people there in Athens, Greece, when Paul came into Athens and he saw those idols to the various gods and one to the unknown God, don't you think those people were being sincere in their worship of those idols? But because they were sincerity, did not make it right. They were not doing right by worshiping idols just because they were sincere. So you can be sincerely wrong. So sincerity, as important as it is, it takes more than sincerity to be a true disciple of Christ. We must know the truth, love the truth, and live the truth to be a true disciple of Christ. Jesus said, if you would be my disciples, then continue you in my word, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus went on to say in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, as important as sincerity is, It takes more than just sincerity to love the truth and to live the truth and to be a true disciple of Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust that the word and the scriptures that we have given have been a blessing to hearts and will be an encouragement to those who are endeavoring to do what is right and to sincerely serve you. So bless these thoughts to our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the gospel with you from week to week, and we do thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And if the broadcast is a blessing to you, we would be encouraged if you would take time to let us know. Now, our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, we have an archive there of our broadcasts. You can listen to them anytime, day or night, if you've missed any, or if there's a program that you'd like to hear over. You may go to our webpage and there download it and listen to it. We also invite you to be a part of our congregation in our regular services, for they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. And our web page again, www.wayoftruth.org. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our web page. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.